Hello, and welcome to our podcast, the 2 a.m. Club.
The Honey Bunnies.
I think we just found our intro, ladies and gentlemen.
We just re-listened to our first episode one. We liked it, so we tried to repeat it.
Exactly. I hope you guys like it as much as we like it. I kind of love it. I think it's kind of cute, especially the
I don't know. Sounds a bit like an American ice hockey game, no? Like when they...
I think it's a baseball game, actually. But also the fact that you know about American sports is a little bit weird, because we never watch sports. Anyways, welcome to our second episode.
Welcome to another round of talking about...
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one for us. This is, we already started crying before we even started recording or whatever. This is about us as parents, and especially, so let's just dive right into it. You know how we do? We just talk, and that's it.
So today, I mean, last episode, we started with a bit of an introduction of ourselves as individuals, but we also mentioned that we became parents last year. And today it will be about us being parents.
Exactly. Because we are individuals first, partners second, and parents third. I think that pretty much sums everything. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh my God. I think we're both scared of the first question, so we're stalling around here a little bit. But actually, I mean, the whole journey of parenting starts with, well...
sex.
Right. And I just wanted to say
that
pregnancy.
You can't get pregnant without sex, unless you're like the Immaculate Mary, yeah? And that's definitely not the case.
Not necessarily, yeah. There's also other ways to get pregnant,
of course,
so...
Of course, yeah. But still.
Not the point. Where you wanted to get to. Okay, well, first of all, you have 9 months of pregnancy.
Which is super fun.
Super fun! We don't want to talk about that.
By the way, how many shoes can you still wear from... before pregnancy?
Oh, none, because my feet got bigger. Great, no one told me that. yeah, lots of fun. No, actually quite exhausting, and maybe also worth a podcast episode with maybe a pregnant lady.
On how to get pregnant?
Or? More on how it feels to be pregnant.
Also a great episode of for the partner, the one who's non-pregnant, on how it is to be the non-pregnant partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also super fun.
Well, you shouldn't complain too much. but yeah, okay. But then after carrying around and growing a little human in your belly, the next stage is birth. Mm. And honestly, that's already quite a big one.
Yeah, that's a big subject for us. So... we went with our first gynecologist, right? So let's just talk about how our first gynecologist was, right? One of our favorite ones, right? And what she said about Munanui in the belly. Her first words when she saw Munanui were
big.
Yeah, but what was big?
Big head, big shoulders. Penis.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't want to say that because otherwise, you know, it could be biased, but that was the first word from our gynecologist. And she did say that because of his big shoulders and big heads, that having a vaginal birth is going to be tough. And she opted more for a C-section, correct?
Correct, yeah. I think it was never spoken about that directly in any of the visits, but I think we all knew that that might be the situation. And I mean starting, because now we're already in the middle of the topic, right? I mean, first of all, like that whole birth preparation is already very confusing. I mean, you have these different classes you can go to. I guess it's quite different now, depending on which country you talk about, which culture and so on, yeah? But here what we did a birth preparation class in a hospital. I think there was like two afternoons on a weekend each 2 hours, where they tell you a little bit of stuff about the birth. Then for me, I did have a prenatal yoga teacher who was amazing. Honestly, I couldn't do much because I had this symphysis situation. It's a certain part in your pelvic floor that didn't allow me to move too much. But it starts already there, right? Like, I mean, the whole preparation, the whole talk about the birth, you automatically start thinking about, okay, which way, how, what to do. And that's already quite difficult because you literally know nothing about it.
Yeah.
And I think for us, and even for me, honestly, I was not scared. I really tried to keep an open mind. I did not have my dream birth in mind.
We didn't write the book like this. What was it already?
The birth plan.
The birth plan diary.
No, I did not. I did not do that because I knew the reality might be different. And for me, I just wanted to keep an open mind. And I really wasn't scared. I mean, going in, I clearly remember that moment, going to the hospital, and I wasn't scared. I was like, no, I'm open. It can be vaginal. It can be C-section. Whatever is best for the baby and for me, that's what's supposed to happen. And I don't want to set my mind to one or the other.
And we also said that at the gynecologist.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always pointed that out. I was not a person that had something there in mind. I honestly didn't have a lot of friends that had kids or that I talked about the birth. So we in general, we're very open. So our first gynecologist, she just always mentioned, oh, big head, big shoulders.
But she did say that we should go with a C-section.
Rather at the end, though. Really?
Yes.
Did she say that?
Yes, she always said that since the beginning. She always said the C-section, remember? And that's the only reason. So it was a lot of C-section. And then the thing is, in Dubai, where we live right now, a lot of, remember what we heard. And this was for us, I think, is the biggest problem, is because this city is still influenced by this American-British system, right? And so a lot of the information that we got was, yes, doctors here really push for C-section because they make more money out of it, you know, and... Yeah, so...
And not only the money, also the plan, because it's...
Okay, it's also planning, yeah. There was also this, like, oh, yeah, because the doctors, they can plan on the delivery, and so they can go on holidays. Remember, we had this joke about it, right? It was kind of like, oh, yeah, because then they can plan their holidays according to the C-sections, right? Which was...
Right.
Retrospectively, was really kind of ridiculous, but on the moment, it was still kind of funny. Then we did some hospital tours, right? And one of the hospitals where our gynecologist was operating at, yes, didn't appeal to us at all. It was really not our style. And so we decided to go with another gynecologist. And I still remember the words of our doctor at that point. I don't want to say any names. But what she said was, Svenja, Mo, where it happens doesn't matter. What's the most important is the people around it. Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah. And, okay, this hospital was like... Let's put it this way. It felt like it was built for the Queen Victoria back in... the late 1400s with like chandeliers, dusty. There wasn't even a yoga ball. Was there a yoga ball? I don't know.
No, and actually what really scared me, they had the handcuffs.
Chains.
They had handcuffs for
on the bed.
I mean, just seeing this, I couldn't.
And remember, they had two separate rooms. There was the men's room because it was a hospital where a lot of Arabic women would have birth, right? So there was two separate rooms. There was the birthing room, and then there was where the men, like, let's put it this way, it was like in the 1950s, how you see it in comedies, where men would be smoking cigars outside waiting for the baby to be born, except for they were having tea and dates and waiting. Yeah. So totally different, right? And so it really felt outside of our comfort zone on that one.
Yeah, we left that hospital and we said, no, we cannot.
Yeah, the tour guide wasn't that great. She was very like...
That's the room.
That's the room. This is this. This is this. And then we went to another hospital. We saw another doctor and she said, no need for C-section. Because remember what we told her. We said, yes, because our other doctor said that a C-section is needed because he has a big... can you just repeat what she said the first time she saw Muna Nui in your belly?
Big head, big shoulders, big penis.
Yeah, so and she, I remember we're telling her that our doctor before, she said that a C-section is definitely the way to go because the shoulders are too big, the canal will be too tight, and he's not going to be able to come out. And she said, no, this is not going to be a problem. We can do vaginal, no problem whatsoever. We did a tour of the hospital. It's a brand new hospital. I'm not going to say any names about it. Brand new hospital, brand new facility, and there was a midwife there. The head of the midwife group, who's now famous on Instagram, and who really
was very disappointing.
The tour.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that is honestly, I mean, we got blinded. We got sold the hospital. It was very nice facilities. We felt very comfortable. We immediately received the WhatsApp number from the midwife, from the station, from the birthing station. So you feel, wow, you can reach someone in case you have questions, in case it starts, you're not sure what to do, etc. So they definitely know how to sell themselves. Yeah.
It was then, like a personalized experience, right?
Yeah, and I mean, what I liked, yeah, and that is really the sentence that stuck with me most, is here it's all about the woman. And I like that a lot because it should be.
Of course.
Yeah, it should be. And as a birthing station, a hospital, or wherever.
Yeah, a little bit more comfortable bed for the husband.
Oh, my God. A birthing station should be comfortable for the women, and it should be about the women and making that experience, if you want to call it this way, the most comfortable as possible. And I think, and safe, obviously. And so we got blinded. We felt comfortable. We felt in good hands. So what we decided then, that we would look for a gynecologist that actually works for this hospital. So here, you know, it's different also in every city, country you go to. So here, the way it works is a certain doctors sign contracts with hospitals. They could be stay-in doctors or iron clinics and then just, you know, use certain facilities to deliver babies. So what we did, we decided to go for a doctor that belonged to this hospital. And I think even though the pregnancy wasn't the most comfortable one for me, but everything was very good. He developed great.
He was growing good.
He was growing very good.
Everything was on track.
Actually, he was a big boy. So my husband and me, you can't see us
with
now.
A big penis.
But we have quite different sizes, yeah. So, and it looked he's coming
more
after his dad. So, all was good. And then I think it was in around week 39. So for the ones that haven't given birth yet or are not so accustomed with these week numbers, which are very confusing, usually you give birth in week 40. Yeah. And then as Muna Nui, our son was quite big, in week 39, we got the recommendation to induce. So basically, somehow make your contraction start, yeah? Make your birth start. Yeah,
because he was quite heavy.
Because he was heavy, and
so let's put it this way. How tall are you?
162.
162. How much, what was your weight before pregnancy?
52.
And Muna Nui at that point was how big?
Already above 3.5.
Yeah. Almost. And her,
almost four,
she
yeah.
was worried that he would turn out to be like almost 4 kgs and that he would be too big at this point to actually do a vaginal birth.
Have a vaginal birth,
all
exactly.
Right.
So then that's why there was an induction done in week 39. So she said we can try vaginal birth. But again, I was not someone that was pushing for it. I was open. I was like, you know, if it's not possible, and I pointed that out, then we do a C-section, it's okay. And I said what I don't want. I don't want to go through a vaginal birth for hours and hours and then end up having a C-section and kind of being double exhausted at the end. And as you can guess now, according to my voice, this is what happened.
Yeah, so she was induced.
By the way, this is also a thing, yeah? It is very... I mean, rather than having a plan, and I mean, please, yeah, for everyone who wants to have a plan, make a plan. But what I believe, what's very important to have information, because, okay, I was told I'll be induced, but I wasn't aware that there's 20 different ways of induction, and I wasn't consulted of whether I want this way of induction or that way of induction. It was just, okay, come to the hospital at that time. And we arrived in the evening. It was, I think, Wednesday evening or night, even 11 p.m., something like this.
We had our go bag. We had our speakers for music, which, thank God, we did because of our neighbor. we had snacks, we had drinks, we were ready to rock and roll. Like, we came in there smiling, whistling, I was making jokes with everybody, because that's what I do when I'm uncomfortable. It's my coping mechanism, and everything was super smooth, right?
Yeah, it was.
You were dilating properly.
I mean, let's start a bit before, right? I mean, okay, we also don't need to go into every detail, but I mean, the induction started the night we arrived, and then nothing really happened overnight.
The induction was also very painful.
Exactly. Yeah, but that was first, I mean, in the evening, that one not yet. That's, I don't know, some kind of gel. I honestly, till today, I don't really know what they did. Over the night, nothing really happened. And then in the early morning, 5, 6, 7 a.m., I don't even remember, we were moved from the normal room to the delivery room, and then they broke my water, so that already started great. So that's part of an induction method, yeah. Retrospectively, I've heard not the best one, but okay. And there, I clearly remember the midwife asking me, oh, so now we're going to break the water. Would you like an anesthesia? And I was like, how painful is it? Or do you want some painkiller? And I was like, how painful is it? Oh, yeah, similar to what you're experiencing now. It's like, oh, okay, now I'm actually quite good. Let's go ahead. Holy moly. Little did I know that they're going to put a huge stick into my vagina and stay there to break this water. I mean, I thought, you know, like a balloon, you know, you take a needle, bloop, and then it's open. Yeah, no, not really. So, yeah, it's actually, this is quite violent, to be honest. And I grabbed the arm of my honey bunny.
I still have scars today because of it.
And, okay, water was broken. And yeah, but like you said, I mean, honestly, everything went fine.
There was a couple things when I think about it today that were super strange. When we were talking with all the other midwives and the nurses and asking them, because everyone was, of course, like, oh, it's your first baby. That's amazing. Wait till the second one and the third one. And then, of course, you know, I'm joking. I was like, ah, how many do you guys have? And they're like, two, three. Wasn't there like one woman that had like four or five, like even six at one point? And
don't remember.
But the crazy thing was, a vast majority of them all said that they all had babies. How?
With planned C-sections.
And why?
Because they know what can go wrong.
That, for me, was already crazy. And I was laughing. I was like, ah. And now I'm thinking about it. I was like, I really should have been. But of course, you know, you feel really, you get this sort of sense of high, right? Because I think your endorphins and your hormones are like, you know, so you kind of pass off.
The thing is, you have to trust. And I said that. I was like, I don't want to question every step. I mean, I have to trust the people that are around me. And that's what we did. And we were just unlucky that.
Yeah.
The way it turned out. So
so after they broke the water,
then we had contractions. I think I got the drop. You know, you then get these hormones to actually get your contractions to the peak. But everything was fine. I started to dilate. And honestly, the pain was manageable. And then at some point, yes, I asked for the epidural. They gave me the epidural. The strange thing, but of course, I never had a baby. I didn't know. But my pain was in the back, in the lower back, which retrospectively apparently is a sign for somehow the position is not great. But no one really questioned this while I was lying there. I also don't recall whether I mentioned this. I guess so, yeah. I think I did, yeah. I'm actually sure I did. Yeah, I mean, you don't know, right? You don't know where you're supposed to have pain, but it was fine. I mean, I was breathing.
Breathing really good. The dilation was doing really good. The numbers were good, remember?
Yep.
It was really moving forward.
Exactly, not too fast.
Right, because the numbers, they go back, if I remember well, it's like 0 and then 1, 2 or something, right?
Yeah, I also don't. I mean, the dilation is like from 0 to 10 and then you need to reach 10 to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the drop of the baby, it's like it starts at 2 and then 1 and 0
exactly.
or something like
so
this. Yeah.
We were at very good numbers. Everything was going really good.
Yeah, everything was good. The checks were good. My pain was manageable. Honestly, I don't think, I didn't scream. Like, the support from Mo was super, super, super helpful.
The only person screaming was the woman delivering the baby in the room right next to us.
Holy moly.
I put on Rammstein to cover her screams. They were so bad.
Yeah, I couldn't handle to hear that.
Svenja was looking at me. She's like, either you make that woman shut up or you put something on that I don't want to hear her screams. Do something.
I was like,
we had like, we had Maroon 5 music and like super acoustic, happy, like Pharrell and stuff like that. And then she's like, just make her stop or do something. And I just went straight to Rammstein. I think I had like Rammstein and AC/DC. I mean, we went full metal because of her
scream. I really don't remember.
She was the only one I remember screaming that whole time.
Yeah, no, this I tried it once when the pain came to scream, but honestly, this just exhausted me more. So I was like, no, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, but that was your training with...
With the prenatal Yuetita, yeah, exactly.
Thanks to Faustine. She was really good at that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the numbers were good. The stats were good. Everything was going super smooth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, everything was great. Yeah, and I mean, I was in there for... I mean, I started at 7 a.m. and I think it started to be afternoonish. I don't know, 2 or 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And then... I reached the 10 centimeters, so you're supposed to dilate 10 centimeters and then you're ready to do the last step of the birth and push the baby out. And the midwife already started with the pushing. She told me how to do, what to do, and then the doctor came.
I do want to point something out before anybody says like, oh yeah, but maybe it's you didn't take enough classes because of your insurance or you guys couldn't pay for it, whatever. We took all the classes that we could pay for that our insurance covered, and it's a very good one. So we were ready by the standards of how much we could be ready, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think we were very well prepared. And like I said, we weren't scared. We were relaxed. There was a great atmosphere in the room.
You are
Mo making his jokes and making the midwives feel comfortable, making me feel comfortable.
Shoes were super cool.
Yeah, one of the doctor, I think the anesthesiologist,
exactly.
She had Balenciaga shoes, which
super
my husband
cool
really liked. And he's
super
like, look at the shoes. I'm like, oh, I can't.
But she helped
funny.
Out afterwards.
Yeah, I remember that. So, and then I would say everything was nice, going great. The doctor arrived, checked the position of the baby. I see her face.
She looked at the nurse.
She looked at the midwife, something like, what the F?
Fuck.
And yeah, I immediately knew something is not right.
And it went all downhill from there.
And from there, everything was black. She asked me to push a couple more times.
I was holding
and then
your leg.
Somehow also the room started to be
all
empty.
I believe what happened was... She told the other midwives and the nurses to get the room ready without telling us.
Yeah, probably.
Because all of a sudden what happened was it was me, my wife, one nurse, and the doctor. And she told me to grab my wife's legs. And then she went in again. And she told you to push.
Yep. And then she told me, she looked me in my eyes, and she's like, okay, you're doing everything right. You can push how much you like, but he's not in the right position. He's not going to come out. And and then everything had to go very fast. I don't know. I had to even sign some papers, which is also a little bit ridiculous, to be honest, in this situation. And then we were rushed to an emergency C-section. And Apparently, also things you only realized later, my blood pressure was way too high, so I got the preeclampsia with birth. It's very rare, but yeah, it happened. So my blood pressure was, I think, at 180 for I don't know how many hours. They brought me to the operation room, and even though I had the epidural, I had to get another anesthesia because I had a lot of pain at the lower back because of the position of the baby. Yeah, and so I was full on in contraction. The epidural already started less and less to work because I didn't get a new, an upgrade because things were getting prepared. And then I had to get another anesthesia, which is very dangerous because you get it in your spine. If you move, that can have disastrous consequences. And I had contractions. So not moving with contractions is a challenge. So I remember this nurse standing in front of me, holding my hands. I think it was the end of her shift. And she was actually moving from side to side. And I wasn't allowed to move just a bit. And I tell you, I took it all together to not move because I was just thinking, you want to walk, you want to walk, you want to walk. And this woman moving, and I just hear the anesthetist in the back telling me, don't move. And I just wanted to scream, I'm not moving, it's the nurse. I remember this moment so clearly. This is the eyes of the nurse, and I just wanted to scream. But yeah, okay, that my honey bunny was outside. He was looking at me. I saw him, actually. I remember when I looked up, and it must have been horrible for him to see me, and I see his tears. And mine are coming as well.
I mean, for me, the only thing I remember, right, clear as day, is when I was in the room where the doctor was washing her hands, and right before the doctor went in, I stopped her and I told her, you save my wife if anything happens. We talked about this before, like a couple months into the pregnancy. I told Svenja that in case complications or any kind of thing would happen to Muna Nui, that her life was more important than his life. And this was always, yeah. And I told the doctor, if you're going to have to choose, and it's the first time and it's the last time I ever want to be in that position again. But I told her that if you have to choose between my wife and my child, you will choose my wife. We can have another child. It will be unfortunate, but I cannot have another. I mean, I could have another wife. See, this is me making jokes because of a very uncomfortable situation. But this was really the hard, and I felt just so powerless. Yeah, just the most powerless. And you know what was going through my mind at that point? Was, why the fuck did I not study harder to become a doctor so that I could be actually helpful in a situation like this?
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, this was really, I was really thinking to myself, you fucking idiot. Yeah. Why didn't you study harder to become a doctor? Yeah, so that you could actually... I felt powerless. This was the first time I ever felt powerless in front of... This is the first time I actually felt fear. I was afraid of losing you. I wasn't afraid of losing Muna Nui. Not at all. At this point in time, he hadn't even had a breath of air yet. For me, he did not exist yet. You... Yeah, and seeing you there and how strong you were, and it's still to today, it haunts me still. Really, having to tell her, I was like, doctor, you will save my wife if it has to come to this. Yeah. And she said, yes, don't worry. And she ran inside. Yeah. And I was sitting in the other side of the room waiting to be called in.
Yeah, and then,
shit got real.
Then I was put on the back, lying there. And, you know, this is also something. I mean, when people talk about C-section, you know, there's so much stigma, right? Nowadays, when you tell someone you have a C-section, people ask, oh, why? you know, like you, like kind of you have to have a reason. It's like, oh, okay, complications, emergency C-section, and then you get the, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, is already itself ridiculous. Because, you know, a C-section, it is a major, major operation. Seven layers of your tummy are cut open. Seven layers. I was like, the worst for me, just coming back to the situation, lying on the back, having this weight on me, because I mean the baby was heavy, and normally at some point in pregnancy you can't lie on the back anymore. Yeah, you will lie on the side because it's just too heavy and uncomfortable. And I felt I cannot breathe. I just felt I couldn't breathe, and I kept asking. So at some point they let Mo in, so he was next to my head. And I kept asking, when are they finished? When are they finished? I mean, I felt, you know, moving, and actually I was cold. I was shaking. I was freezing. I was shaking so much, and I couldn't control it. And I was very, very close to having a panic attack. And here, really, thankfully, breathing helped. Yeah, yoga helped, the preparation. So I really just tried to breathe and calm myself. This was my whole exercise. I really just tried to focus, breathe in and breathe out, and just make it through.
And you were screaming at the nurse
and
cussing. You were like, I mean, I'm very happy
my
that
true
the
self.
Nurse did not hold the scalpel, because you looked at the nurse and you're like, it's fucking cold. Like, will you please do something? I'm fucking cold. And then I was just sitting there going like, oh, shit. Like, I thought I had a filthy mouth. My God. Like,
that was so cold. I was shaking.
And then they put
the heater.
The blowing heater. But the way he put it on there, he was so afraid to touch you, because he was like, she's going to kill me. He was shaking. Like, it was like almost as if he was being operated.
Yeah, yeah. It was horrible. Yeah, I was scared for my life, and I was scared for Munanui's life. That was horrible. Yeah, it was just horrible.
It's different for you and me, because you carried him for all those months. But for me, I wasn't afraid for his life. I was afraid for your life.
I was also, and I think this is also, to be honest, I was more afraid about my life.
Yeah.
I think this is the survival instinct of a human. Of course, I had to think about myself first for him to make it.
I really thought that today would be the day that I lose my wife and my child.
Yeah, and well, you know, so yeah, we didn't have this, you know, first scream of the
kid. But it wasn't finished yet. It still wasn't done. Yeah, this is just the beginning of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then she's cutting through you, right? So all the nurses are there, and she's going through you. You're shivering, cussing out the nurse. I got that male nurse, like, breathing down my neck on the other side. She pulls Munanui out. And then one of the guys goes, the male nurse, he's like, take pictures. Right? Like, the fuck is wrong with you? Like, take pictures of what? First of all, the baby was out, didn't even hear him. But I did see that he was purple. Yeah? Because he was stuck. He was stuck, and he couldn't breathe. So this male nurse is telling me, take pictures. The baby is being taken away to have oxygen. And then he tells me, go be with your baby. And I'm like, are you crazy? Like, no, there's three nurses on my child right now. I need to be with my wife. And he just kept on asking me over and over, go be with your baby. And I was like, you know, and then we heard the first cry. Baby was still not brought to us. And Svenja was getting sewn up by the doctor. And then they did the countdown of all the medical equipment that was in the room. So they were speaking in Arabic, if I remember well. And I could just hear the countdown and blah, blah, blah. And I, like, one scalpel done. And then, you know, it's like this whole checklist that goes down. And all of a sudden, it was about the towels, the gauzes, yes? And they did a recount of the gauzes again. And another one. The doctor was sitting in the corner. You know, like, you know, in these war movies where you just see that soldier covered in blood smoking a cigarette, like sitting up against a wall because they need a support. this almost, she wasn't smoking a cigarette, but that's almost what it looked like. And then she looked up at the team doing the counting, and I could see her face was the same face she gave to Svenja when the birthing wasn't working. It was that face of shock. And she got back up, and she came back to you, and they did the count again. And she said something, I don't know what she said, but somehow I think she said something like, shit, somebody better find it, because otherwise I'm going to have to cut through this and go back in there and get it out. They do another count. They still couldn't find it. One of the nurses frantically is opening up all the bags where they threw stuff away, and she's chucking everything on the floor. So the floor next to me is just full of blood and full of all these gauzes and all the strips and all the liquids and everything. And finally, she finds the last one. They do a recount of everything. Yeah. Finally, everything is accounted for. Svenja is sewn back up. She's a little bit more calmer. And she looks at me and she goes, go see our child. And then I go see our child. Because, you know, Svenja is the most important that at that point, yeah? That was, it's me and her that made this child, not the other way around. And I go see Munanui. And he's breathing, but he has fluid in his lungs. He can only hold, if I remember well, it was like 40% of the oxygen was inside of it. So he was still having difficulties. And then the doctor, what was her name again?
The doesn't matter. I don't remember.
Let's call her the Balenciaga shoe doctor. She looks at the other nurses and she's like, and she tells him, it's like, did the mom even see the baby yet? And they had totally forgotten. And they're like, oh no, they haven't yet. So they finally bring Munanui. At that point, he didn't have the name yet. Yeah, they finally bring him to Svenja. It was just a couple seconds even, right? It wasn't even that long because he still had trouble breathing and they needed to bring him to the NICU to make sure that all the fluids were out and that everything was good. Yeah, and then, I mean, that doctor, I think without her being there, nobody would have even given the baby to us.
Yeah, before. I think so too.
Yeah.
That was horrible. I mean, yeah, it was just such a, you know, it was a very, 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 very rough start. So, yeah, what happened next? I mean, they sewed me up. Luckily, I got this 2 seconds with Munanui. I cried and I saw him before they brought him in the NICU. And luckily, Mo took pictures of that. So I, once he then left, I could keep on looking at the pictures. And that was so helpful. That was so helpful.
And we were alone in the other room.
And I remember, yeah, we were alone. And my blood pressure is still rocketing high.
Emotions are super high. We have no idea what the fuck is going to happen to Munanui right now. We don't know where he is. We know nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
We didn't know anything. He was just gone.
Not what floor he was. We just had a couple pictures, I think 2 or 3 pictures of what he
and
looked
I was,
like.
I was so exhausted. I was... Oh, my God. It was just... you know, you're supposed to be so happy. Oh, the happiest day of my life. Oh, my God. It was horrible. And I think this is why we want to speak about it today is, you know, even we didn't have expectations. Even we were relaxed. But, yeah, it is not... It can turn out like this. And it actually still does. I mean, the more I talk to people about their birth experience, honestly, most of them are not great. And
majority of them, the way they thought it would happen, doesn't happen. Yeah. But yeah, we were very alone. Yeah, we were alone, and then then they came to pick up the IS, because while we were being trolleyed out, they did give us the box with the umbilical cord and fluid, right, for the
chick thing. Oh, I don't know. I think I have a kind of a memory loss after.
Is it the white blood cells?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, where they...
In Switzerland or whatever.
Wherever it's not stored.
What is this bank? Anyway, so they're like, okay, we're going to just follow your wife, and here's the box with the umbilical cord, and we didn't even see we were planning to see the placenta, you know, and you know, just seeing that little piece of embodiment of my wife that helped our son, you know.
Yeah,
survive those months.
It
was just on the ground. It was thrown on the ground like a piece of trash. That's how I felt in that whole hospital, was like thrown on the ground like a piece of trash.
Like a number. Like it was... No one even recognized the situation that we were in, you know? Like it was kind of, let's try to cover it up so it looks like all is fine, whereas nothing was fine. Munanui was in the NICU for 5 days. I got preeclampsia. I was having high blood pressure for, I don't know, the next 3-4 weeks. Luckily, today it's good and all is fine again.
And one nurse who said, oh, you need to calm down?
Yeah, I remember they came to measure my blood pressure every hour, and they're like, oh, just relax, you know, kind of screaming at me. I was like, what the heck? And even in the night, I mean, as Munanui was in the NICU, in the night we could sleep. I mean, sleep. Yeah, I mean, I didn't close one eye.
But we did have to collect those little droplets
of colostrum.
Of colostrum.
No, but I mean, seriously. Then they're coming in every hour, measuring my blood pressure, and then screaming at me that I should relax. Yeah, I mean, hallelujah.
Yeah. So Munanui is in the NICU. He has tubes in his nose. He has needles in his arms. And we haven't seen him yet. Yeah. So we're sitting in this room. The guy comes and collects the box with the umbilical cord and stuff like that. I'm asking the nurse, like, hey, is there any news? Is there anything, like, can you... And she's like, I don't know. I will ask this and this. And then after a couple hours, the pediatrician finally comes. You remember? She came in. The one who was taking care of Munanui.
Yeah.
Right? She comes in and she gives us an update, and she's like, yes, he still has fluid inside of his lungs. It's getting better. I think it went from 40 to 50% that he can hold in the oxygen for 50%, but he still needs to be in there. How long? And she's like, we don't know yet, which is fine. I get that. But it was like, yeah, maybe tomorrow, you know, you can see him. And she's like, yeah, let's see how it goes. Yeah. And we finally got to see him
the next day.
Next
morning, yeah. And so turns out he also had an infection.
Yeah.
So they had to give him antibiotics. It's not nice. It's not a nice view, yeah, seeing your baby like that in this incubator with lots of cables and screaming, and you can't hold him. This was really sad.
Yeah.
It was really sad.
Then from there...
You know, honey, we're already at 43 minutes talking just about birth.
That's still...
But I think it's nice. I mean, we can, you know...
There was one good thing. I really hate to say it like that, but there was one good thing about him being in the NICU, is the fact that they were already giving him... formula.
Yeah, but that was only on the second or third day.
But that was already a good thing, yeah, because then he was already used to. Yeah. But I remember this was also the moment we had our first fight.
Really?
Yes, because of the colostrum.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. So what happened?
We had to collect this little... droplets of morning dew. Let's put it this way. Yeah? Little droplets of morning dew with this stupid-ass syringe that you had to suck them up. You know?
Yeah, and it was so funny. I mean, not funny, but so what happened as I didn't have Muna Nui with me, and to get the milk flowing, the breast milk, I had to pump every couple hours. And then at the beginning, it's this so-called colostrum that comes out of your boobs.
Yeah, that one you couldn't pump.
And that one, yeah, but you just stimulate it, yeah? So every 3 hours, you just stimulate. And then you take whatever you can coming out of your boob, and it's very, very small quantities.
So Svenja was screaming at
me. So every droplet was...
As if it was like gold.
Gold, yeah.
I mean, it is gold, but I mean, if a drop would be drying out because I wasn't fast enough, she would just scream the hell out of me, right? And then she was like, no, that's not the way you do it. This is the way you got to do it. And I was like, but no, but the nurse showed me like this. She's like, no, give that to me. I'll tell you how to do it. Then the nurse walks in.
Oh, yeah. And my honey bunny was right.
Can I please tell the end of the story?
Nope.
And I told the nurse, and then I was like, yeah, all right, so can you please tell us how to do this? Because my wife says you need to do it like this, and I think I need to do it like this. And then she's like, you're right, sir, you need to do it like this. It took you a little bit of time before you said, I'm sorry, and I was wrong.
Okay, to be fair, hormones are going crazy.
Oh, this is always the excuse.
Yes, it is. It's not an excuse. Yeah, but I don't know.
So that was our first fight. It was over colostrum.
Interesting. Yeah, I recall now. It's horrible. Yeah, so we stayed there 5 days, I think, 6 days in the hospital. Yeah, we arrived there Wednesdays and left Tuesdays, I think.
We finally got to see Muna Nui the next day, which you could finally do the first breastfeeding. Could you even do a breastfeeding on the first day?
I'm not sure that on the first day or the second day. I don't recall.
So he was already being fed formula.
No,
No, because remember the doctor, she came in and she said that he's not getting enough food.
Yeah, but that was not on the first day. But also, it's irrelevant, to be fair. I think start to be parents. I mean, and to put it this way, having a first kid, anyway, suddenly your world is upside down. And I think we had a very rough start. And that made then influenced the coming weeks and month quite a bit, which is why we wanted to start with that story. I don't know, someone even told us, right, that we might have PTSD. You can have that from a birth experience.
They call it baby blues. Like these words also that they use for child, like, you know, baby blues. Or
yeah.
What is also your memory loss? It's called already. See, I have it.
Yeah, so, I mean, did I want to get to? But that's how being parents starts, yeah? It starts with birth, and it can go many ways. And it's not about scaring anyone. I think being open is important for people to know that this can happen, because, I mean, you have honestly no clue of whatsoever of what's going to happen before.
Which is good. What I wanted to say is we just felt alone, and we felt alone, and we didn't know who to ask or what to, or. And so, you know, you're looking at things because you're like, hey, is this normal that I feel this way? Yeah. Is it normal that I feel depressed? Is it normal that I feel anger? Is it normal that I feel like crying? Is it normal? Like, are all of these things normal? And you're looking for answers. Yeah. We're looking for answers. And we couldn't find any, because everything we found didn't fit to how our started. It didn't start with a water birth that was like miraculous and with hues of purple color and, you know, pastels and, you know,
good smells in the
good smells of violet and, you know, magnolia and, you know, pan flute playing in the background. You know, it was blood and, you know, counting instruments, yeah, and screaming, and that was our start. It wasn't that other start. And the fact that we were alone, yeah? It was just me and Svenja. We have no family that live here. We've been expats for the last...
Since we know each other.
Which is, what, 13?
Almost 13.
Yeah, so like over 15 years we've been expats almost now, yeah? So we always, that's the Honey Bunny team is me and her, and now with Munanui. So we were alone.
And I think that is also where the inspiration for the podcast came from, right?
Because it's the fact that we were alone.
We
didn't want anybody else to feel alone.
Yeah.
You know, when you got that call from our friend at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, crying because the breastfeeding is not going the way it should go and the pain and everything like that. Who did you have to call at 2 a.m.?
Yeah. No one.
We had no one to call. But that's always the way we were. We're always the ones, we spearhead things. So that other people don't have to go through what we went alone.
Yeah. And that's why we want to be honest. And what we're experiencing now the last month, as we are very honest about our journey, which is so tough and not just amazing. And people are actually contacting us and sharing their stories with us and asking for support from us or for help because they know they can be honest. And that's what we want to be. We want to be honest, and we don't want you to feel alone and to feel bad about your feelings that you might have.
Exactly.
That might not all be positive, having now a kid.
You're looking at that kid and it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever damn time it is in the morning. You're not sleeping. Your boobs are hurting. You're fighting with your partner over a stupid colostrum or because you didn't get, you know, whatever, yeah? And you're thinking, I never wanted this. Like, this is not the way... This is not the way I thought it would happen. This is not the I never wanted this. That's the wrong wording. It's more the this is not how I thought it should go, right? And
yeah.
You're thinking these dark thoughts like, my God, this really sucks. It's yeah. And then you go and you look for help, you look for something to be like, okay, is it weird? Is it and then everything you find is totally opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And
you just get these guides. Oh, that's what's supposed to happen now. Oh, your child
it's just a baby blues.
3,500 grams now. It should feed da-da-dip.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't worry, you can always cuddle your child. It's not gonna hurt the child, blah blah blah.
Cuddle it, yeah.
You know, and cluster feeding is great. Don't worry about it. And you're like, you know, maybe for the child, but how about me? And I think this is
There was no negative.
Exactly.
Everything was about this positivity, yeah? Oh, it's if you put out positive energies, you're going to get positive energies back, and you're like...
you're just recovering from major surgery, from a traumatic experience.
There's and positive and negative, yeah. There's
so I had this...
yeah, you were really bad.
Yeah, I was really depressed. I mean, really I was bad. Not in a good mental stage, yeah? I mean, very clear. This was physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, and I was just, I don't know, sad, tired, exhausted.
Angry.
This whole breastfeeding, oh my God, don't get me even started, yeah? So, yeah, I mean... We wanted to share the story today, and I think then we can also call it a day. Honestly, I'm like, I need a break. We want to share because, as we said, we wanted raw, we wanted real, and
authentic.
Authentic, and it gives you a bit more now of a background where we're coming from, how it all started, and
we just don't want people to feel alone out there the same way we were.
Exactly. And
you know,
if you're going through something there right now, I don't know, it's okay. You know, your feelings, no matter what kind of feelings they are, they're okay that they are. And
it's natural for you to have those feelings.
Exactly. This exhaustion, the sleep deprivation is just
yeah.
The guilt, the all these feelings, it's just completely overwhelming.
Yeah, the guilt. the guilt is actually something very, the guilt is what kills me the most.
Yeah.
The guilt, because when you're looking for your answers out there, and then they make you feel guilty of the way you feel because you don't feel the same way they are. Mm-hmm. And no one else is out there saying the same thing you are, and it makes you even feel more guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what happens.
And this for me is, this is this Western white tooth woman on Instagram with her pastels and her magnolia smelling oils and essence made me feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had a feeling, I remember I wanted to have this beautiful Wochenbett, as we call it in German. It's the, you know, the month after delivery where you're supposed to stay in bed with your child, bonding, relaxing, recovering. And I really wanted that because I saw it exactly on Instagram. I read about it and I thought I was prepared. I got all these nice little things and it wasn't like that at all, you know? And I just wanted to get out, to be honest.
You wanted to go buy a pack of cigarette and not come back? Was that what you wanted?
No,
sometimes maybe. Where I closed the door afterwards and I was like, you could just walk off right now, Mo. Just walk off. Yeah. But I could never do that to you or to him. But there are moments I thought about it. I'm not going to even lie. Even today, I still think about it. Even today, I'm still like, come on, even you. We have the motorcycles downstairs. We could just drive off.
No, I think meanwhile I'm healed. I'm okay now. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking about a happy ending of this podcast episode.
There is no happy ending. Yeah. The happy ending is that we are good where we are right now.
Yes.
But we had to go through that process.
Yeah.
And that process is tough. And that's what we're doing. Yeah. In some ways, it's kind of us healing from that whole thing, and also a way to help others that may be going through this whole thing, and to tell them, hey, you're not alone. It's okay to have those dark thoughts. Just don't do them. Don't put the baby in the microwave. That was my thing. I said, I'm going to put you on high heat, 5 minutes in the microwave. And yeah, just don't do it. Yeah, but it's normal. It's normal to have these thoughts. It's okay. And you're not alone. Yeah, and find that friend. Unfortunately for us, we didn't have those friends. We didn't have that friend that we could call at 2 a.m. But now we have friends that can do that, yeah, that can call us at 2 a.m. And we're happy for them.
Yeah, and I even feel guilty for the ones in our friend circle that had kids and we were also not there because we had no idea what it means.
Yeah.
They also couldn't call us at the point, right? Because we didn't know. I mean, long time we didn't want to have kids. So honestly, when friends of mine were pregnant or had kids, I mean, I was never very close because I was always living in other countries. So then, you know, I didn't have, yeah, already the distance, the simple physical distance.
But we also
we had no idea, honestly, what they went through. But they also never shared.
Yeah.
They also never shared. And no one came to us. But maybe it's also on us because we could have asked, yeah. So I think, yeah, I do think about this a lot as well, about the friends that had kids where we weren't there as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I totally understand that. But there was also what you said, like, a lot of friends came afterwards to tell us it was going to be tough.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of people, I think they don't want to say anything while you're pregnant, like as if they're going to scare you out of it, yeah?
Actually, everyone tells you, oh, you should have kids, da-da-da, you know? And I don't know, they just don't want to suffer alone.
I think that's the only conspiracy theory that exists in the world, is just parents tell, and we are not those types of parents, so we don't tell other people, like, you should have kids, don't have kids, it's fine, it's really great, actually. Don't do it. Wear a condom. Or swallow. Do whatever you want. But it is like, I think a lot of people, and we were talking about this with some other parents where they're like, yeah, but we shouldn't scare them. Why not?
Why not?
Why not scare them? Why not just give that honest truth? It's like, dude, you are in for
whew, especially for those first weeks, don't tell a woman, oh, you should enjoy, you're going to be with your bond. No, also say, you know, you have to get the fuck ready. It's hard. It's going to be, you know, depending on how your birth goes. I mean, it can go, you know, yes, it can be a bit easier, but still it's going to be a hard start because no matter how.
And we're lucky because I'm the stay-at-home dad. You took off of work.
We were both at home.
Exactly. Imagine those couples where the husband goes back to work, doesn't have paternity leave, and the wife is alone at home doing everything.
This is unthinkable for me. I don't know. I could have not done it. I could have not done it alone. No way. No way. I have no idea how women do it alone. Or even with another child at home. I have no idea. But, I mean, if there's a first one, then you can at least tell them, well, you know what you're into. So, yeah. I think, honey, we're starting to bubble and derail, which, yes, you always say it's fine. But I would say let's call it a day.
I just want people to know you're not alone.
You're not alone. And we hope that sharing this story will make someone out there feel better.
I hope so, too.
And all right.
It makes me feel better. And at the end of the day, it's still the most important is that you and me
exactly
feel better.
It helps us to process as well. All righty. Do we have an outro?
The only outro is that I love you, my beautiful baby.
I love you, too. Thank you for being there for me. Yeah, and holding my hand. I could have not done it without you.
Scars.
Oh, my God. Always have to end up in a joke.
Always. I love you.
I love you, too.